Welcome back to another episode of Checkers or Wreckers with Dega Davey and the Nose. On today's podcast, we talk about Kansas, boat truck races, Xfinity, and the Cup race, Thursday Cup race, and the ratings from that. Oh, man, God, the ratings. Talking about doubleheaders, Kyle Busch panic watch, must-win situations, new girlfriends, review of our picks from last week, and going forward with the Magic Mile coming up this Sunday. It's go time, baby. Hammer down. And welcome back to another episode of Checkers or Wreckers with Dega Davey and the Nose. This week's a big week. We got JP's favorite Magic Mile track, New Hampshire Motor Speedway, out there in Loudoun, New Hampshire. Welcome to the Northeast, baby. But first, we got to recap Kansas. Kansas is one of my favorite tracks just because multiple racing lines. It's similar to Homestead in a way. Only Homestead is not D-shaped, but Kansas and Homestead both have variable banking. Kansas goes from 17 to 20, just like Homestead. So, JP, some initial thoughts about Kansas for you.
As far as the Cups are concerned, the Cup racing was concerned, guys could actually pass. Texas was a bit of a snooze fest until the very end. Guys could pass. I mean, hey, if you're a NASCAR fan, what more could you ask for?
But everybody always says big motor, small blade. I mean, we have okay sized motors at Kansas. It's a 550 package with the inlets near the front of the car. Mm-hmm. And we also have a pretty big blade in the back. So, I mean, Kansas is probably the best track for this package, but also at the same time, it's like every other track's not going to be Kansas. So, but I think Cup was pretty fun, but everything after that was kind of downhill, especially the first truck race was a snooze fest to me. I mean, Austin winning. Xfinity was a snooze fest until Joe Graff Jr. hit the wall at the end. Yep. And then the truck at the last one, it was Matt Crafton running away with everything. So it was.
I will say the second truck race was not far as far as the excitement goes to the first Cup race, which is expected. Think about it. You're going back to back days. You can't wreck your truck without starting the back of the field. You have to play it safe. I mean, we saw it at Pocono with the Cup series, the double headers. We'll dive in here a second, you know, pros and cons double headers, whether you should do them or not again. But could you really expect bar to bar racing in the first one if you wreck your truck? I don't blame them.
I don't really care. You know, all right. I do care, but I don't. If I was a driver, I wouldn't care. I'm out there to drive. I'm not the owner driving the car. It's not my job to worry about the money. If I think I'm that good of a driver coming from the back, you can do it, especially at Kansas. People were making a lot of good laps there. But again, I said last week that the leaders were going to wreck. Now, the leaders did not wreck, but a good bit of the contenders wrecked with Logano, for whatever reason, not slowing down and getting out of the groove earlier when he knew something was going down midway through one and two, and he took out not only himself, but Austin Dillon decided to take out himself and Jimmy Johnson.
Matt Benedetto
in that one, and Kevin Harvick got some damage. But my biggest issue about that was Logano. Then it comes Austin Dillon, because Austin Dillon
had no reason. I don't know what the fuck he was thinking. It was like, oh, we got to jump out of the groove, jump out. And he overreacted, ruined Jimmy's day. The only two guys that we liked that weren't affected by it were Chase Elliott and Ryan Blaney. They had nothing to show for. Blaney especially, I mean, God, I don't know what the hell he had going on that day. He's had some bad luck at Kansas the past couple of trips. But Chase Elliott didn't really have anything to show for.
But that hit, all right, and then also the other headlines from it was Ryan Preece's hit that should have killed him.
God, man, that was
this was 1999, and this was a track like that. I know Kansas wasn't built to 2001, but if he would have hit the track like that, he would have died. Yeah, that looked like he would have been easily passed out. But the other headline was Billy Byron, because Billy Byron was in the lead, and then he decided to take two fucking tires.
He did not take two tires. His crew chief.
No, but still,
put on two tires. That's not Billy's call.
You know, what I'm saying is the team, when I'm referencing Billy Byron, I think Billy Byron, obviously.
24 camp. Sure.
24 camp and also Mr. H, because we all know that they have the commander now.
Yep.
Mr. H, Chad there, because his baby wasn't even born yet. His baby still hasn't been born. So is he going to stay in the command center for Loudon as well? I have no idea. But still, that was Chad, Mr. H, and his replacement crew chief up there, which is basically just a puppet at that point.
Yep.
And two tires, really? If that's a computer, the computer should be fired for that. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that was a dumb call. Anyone on TV could have recognized.
He was in the lead. You do two tires when you're behind. You don't do that when you're up front.
And with the, I mean, I don't, dumb call. And then the restarts that occurred towards the end re-solidified that dumb call. You know, I could have maybe seen it work had it remained green. But come on, man. If you look at the Larry McNuggets, which those guys know a hell of a lot more than we do, we still knew. And odds are I might need to go four tires and still get a real good finish. You maybe get a top five, worst case scenario, which he needs. Byron needs good finishes and not a win. We'll talk about must wins here in a bit, but dumb call.
And then let's talk about the first race. Sure. Today, or this weekend, was full of inconsistent cautions.
Yes.
We have Jordan Anderson wrecking in the front stretch, and then we have like somebody else hitting the wall or spinning, and they're like, oh, that's fine. That's fine. But then we also had, first truck race. Austin Hill running away with it. Pretty boring to me, honestly. It was 200 laps of really nothing. I don't really remember anybody really hitting the wall that much other than Jordan Anderson. And I think that was the first cup race. And whenever I went and did my fan council survey, I went ahead and rated it like a 2 out of 10. I just thought it was not intense really at all. It was just the restarts were pretty fun. But other than that, it was pretty boring.
I agree. Not much happened. Really nothing notable really happened. It was cool to see another driver actually win. That's not Kyle Busch. That was pretty cool.
Series regular. I like seeing
series. Yeah, series regular. Well, yeah, if we want to be, correct there. That was cool. Third one of the year. And again, the second truck race, another first time winner this season, which was great to see. I like to see regulars in there. And we have not had a repeat winner yet for the series regular. So that's going to make for a really exciting playoff.
Yeah, we have.
It's very, very exciting.
We've had a repeat winner.
Who?
Grant Enfinger.
Has he won twice? Yeah, he has won twice. You're right.
You're right. Atlanta.
So even there's only one repeat winner. I mean, shit, compare that to the Cup Series.
And Grant Enfinger out of all people. But Grant Enfinger is, other than those two races, those have been really out. All right, Daytona is like
Atlanta,
he just won because Chase and Kyle wrecked themselves out, really put themselves out of contention when they hit the wall. But also, other than that, Grant has not been that consistent.
He has not
been running in the top five. He's not a contender right now. If anything, Matt Crafton's been putting himself up there. But Matt Crafton, I think he had third, second, and then this one was his first. So first one since Eldora, July 2017, that's longer than Jimmy Johnson's drought.
Yes.
So
there's hope.
But there is hope. But also, I like seeing Matt Crafton win just because if he goes to the Final Four, he doesn't have that chip on his shoulder saying he's the only one that hasn't won, and then we have a bad look for the sport.
Yeah, he wins. Yeah.
But I like seeing the old guys winning the truck. I like seeing the big old burly guys winning, like Austin Hill and Matt Crafton. Matt Crafton had been in the series since like 1999. He was really good with Thor Sport in the very beginning when they first started 25 years ago. And then he thought his shit didn't stink, so he went over to KHI, Kevin Harvick's team. And then he got cut from that team after 1 year for poor performance, went back to Thor Sport, has been there ever since. And he hasn't really dabbled in much anything else other than truck series. I mean, he did go to Talladega winter. Paul Menard's neck hurt, but whatever. But going on into Xfinity, that was a pretty good race. And I thought Brandon Jones really wheeled that thing. I thought that was going to be Austin Cindric's win day, like every single bit of the thing. But then we could talk about Ryan Sieg jumping the restart way too early, almost getting
a penalty. And bad tires. That was a dumb call.
Dropped like a fucking rock.
He was a hazard to the whole field. I mean, if it was Texas, he would have been fine. But the thing I liked about Kansas is that we actually saw, aside from the trucks, we really saw tire wear off. We saw – I'll go and say too, the trucks did have tire fall off. Stuart Friesen was the big example of that towards the end there. I mean, he got – I don't know how he didn't cause a caution when he fell back like a freaking rock. But there was tire fall off, which is good to see. I hate watching races with no tire fall off because in those races, there's no passing. You know, why would there be passing? There's no advantage. There's no saving tires. It's just a fuel strategy and just track skill, which is 1.5 miles, don't require that much skill. Let's be honest. You know, a lot of these guys have thousands of laps logged here at tracks like this, and they're not hard to drive. So why would there be much separation? You know, so it's just, it was a good, the second truck race and the Cup Series race were good for 1.5 miles, all things considered. Good racing for 1.5 miles.
Yes, but I mean, Kansas is always going to be a fun one. The bad thing about this racing was that it was on a Thursday night going up against opening day for the MLB, and we got our ratings came in as the lowest since 2000 for a Cup race. Like, that was piss poor. That was that. What we got was a moderate sized audience for an Xfinity race. For NBC to have the Brickyard being over 4 million people, and then the last two races being over 2, and then we have barely over 1 for this race, it goes to show how badly this race was marketed. And then everybody talks about on radio and on the interviews, oh man, these midweek races are here to stay. I'm telling you right now, no, they're not. After this piss poor performance, I do not foresee us having a Thursday race. I only think that we have that midweek races are only fun when we have a race on Sunday and the Sunday after that, and it needs to be a sandwich. I don't think that you should have a Sunday, then a Wednesday, and then like a whole weekend off because everybody's gonna be wondering where the racing is.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels like we're getting shortchanged, and I felt that way on Sunday. I was sitting around, I'm like, damn, I wish there was a race on. I would rather have a race on Sunday than in the middle of the week, because if I have one in the middle of the week, then nothing in the end of the week, then I have nothing to look forward towards the end of the week.
I agree.
I can get through Wednesday and Thursday just fine thinking about Sunday, but I cannot get through like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then the whole week after that.
I'm telling you, man, I agree with you. It was hard. I guarantee you I'm not the only one. And the ratings, I think, back this up. When you watch the trucks kind of get me in, like really get me into it, especially that second truck race. Okay, let's say the race would have been Sunday, right? Let's say trucks had their first race on Friday or Thursday, another race the following day, could be that Friday or Saturday. Xfinity has their race. That second truck race would get me there. Like, it would get me hyped up, man. It was like, all right, cool. There's a lot of wrecking. There's a lot of crazy shit going down. You know, the guys got aggressive. A lot of wrecks in the truck race. There was a big one that we got to see. I haven't seen a big one in a while. That was awesome to see. Then we go to Xfinity, which, to be quite honest with you, Xfinity, most of the time, in my opinion, is always a snooze fest. I just don't see that much good racing with maybe half the Xfinity races.
Xfinity, some of the most exciting races. That and trucks, just that this past week, for whatever reason, was not that exciting. Like, Texas was pretty exciting. I mean, I like seeing Noah Gragson throw it down and then get himself into some trouble with his owner, but
well, even then, Texas, I mean, that was an unremarkable race. The Kansas race, I'll be honest, man, the last couple of laps were cool, but dude, you fell asleep. All right. If I wasn't, if I was not, Well, it wasn't entertaining enough, even because, I mean, I'm tired half the time, but if the racing's good, I'm fucking watching it. You know, if it ain't that good, what's going to happen? You know, if it's a 3-hour event. So, you know, the only reason I didn't fall asleep is because I was cleaning out my diecast cars, getting my diecast display set up. So I had something going on. But there was nothing remarkable at the Xfinity race except for Brandon Jones coming back, which at the end of the day, cool. A non-series regular who – well, correction, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the trucks. But anyway, Brandon Jones came back. He forced the bottom line to work, which we saw did not work in any of the series. The bottom line did not work. I mean, we saw, 1,000 laps worth of racing this past – over 1,000 laps worth of racing. And the final lap, he was the 1 in 1,000 laps. He made that bottom line work and got past Cendric. It was unbelievable to me. I sat there and said, that's not going to work. Cendric's going to pass him on the outside. And he fucking took off and left Cendric in the dust. I was blown away at that. That was remarkable. But the other couple hundred laps, I don't know. Cars got spaced out. Even the restarts weren't that good. But again, that's racing. I mean, hey, you're going to have, 20 some odd races in a year. Not all of them are going to be great. Not every football game is going to be great. And I don't think it's up to NASCAR to make them all entertaining. I don't want to see a freaking circus show to make every race entertaining.
PJ like one.
PJ1 or have those circus cautions just to make a race. And like you mentioned, those cautions were ridiculous. In the Cup race, there was a nothing incident that threw a caution over it. Then we see, what was it, the trucks? You have two guys actually wreck. I mean, granted, there wasn't that much debris. Hardly any debris, just tire rub-offs. I mean, guys still wreck, though, and spun, or damn near spun, no caution. Which was like, come on, NASCAR, come on. You know, I want good racing, but I don't want it to be forced. I don't want them to have to try so damn hard. Let it happen. You know, too much, less is more, I guess I'm trying to say.
Let's just say this. Let's get into the driving topics today. So, the doubleheaders. Now, I wish that these doubleheaders, they could go to a backup car for the next one.
Without being penalized, yes.
Without being penalized. Because they already have them. They're most likely going to use them. So, like, most of them are going to a backup car. I think six went to a backup car. So.
That's not most, but yeah.
No, but it's a good majority. I think that they should not get penalized because these cars, it makes me so mad when I'm watching a race and I'm like, just race. And they're just like taking it easy. They don't want to hit anyone. It's like they're the owners driving out there. I'm like, dude.
I 100% understand. To me, they ought to be driving like that. I mean, there's not very many top tier teams in the truck series. Quite a few of these guys trying to work their way up. And I don't think there's room for another Ricky Stenhouse in the series. Say it again.
I need some excitement.
Well, I understand. I agree.
I'm paying to watch the race.
But at the same time, these guys don't give a shit. They have a contract on the line. They have equipment to take care of. They're trying to have both. And when you make it where they can't go to a backup car or they'll get penalized for doing it, what do you expect? It's a product of their environment. If they're damned if they do one thing, and then their sport gets damned if they do what they need to do to take care of their team.
But the first race of the doubleheaders is because of that rule.
Yes.
Always very much more boring than the second.
Yeah, absolutely. And the two big things I want to see for if they're going to do a doubleheader, I don't have anything against doubleheaders. I don't mind watching the same series, the same track. I don't mind that. To me, it's kind of cool because you get to knock out two races. I mean, you get double what you're used to seeing every Sunday. It doubles up the excitement, the storylines. It's fun. I like it. But the two big things they need to do, first, make the first race short. If we're going to Kansas and it's typically a 400-mile race, I want to see no more. If it's the Cup Series we're talking about, I want to see no more than 300 miles. Hell, maybe even 250. To make it a fucking sprint, these guys have to go.
Pocono was 325 and 350.
What do you mean 250 miles?
At Pocono, when they did the doubleheader,
yeah,
It was 325 the first one, 350 the next one.
It's Pocono. It's a much slower track. I'm talking if we're going to Atlanta, where the average speed is – these guys at Pocono, man, they're getting slow in the corners. It's a big, long track. It takes a long time to get a lap done, and the speed's inconsistent. I'm talking if we go to Charlotte, if we go to Atlanta, if we go to Texas, Kansas, where they're averaging 170, 180 miles an hour, I want no more than 300 miles. Preferably 250. That means it is go time from the second that race starts. That's an hour and a half, 2 hours tops. We'll say an hour and a half, a green light of a green flag racing, factor in your cautions, race is done within 2 hours, two and a half hours.
They are shorter for the doubleheaders, but you're saying they should be even more shorter.
I want borderline all-star racing. That's what I want.
Well, and I want all-star racing now.
I want a little bit around. I said borderline. Now, after that, don't, and then on top of that, you're, to your point, don't penalize for backup cars, because once it could be a 1 mile race, it could be a 1,000 mile race. When you tell somebody, "Hey, man, your starting position is going to be dick tomorrow," if you try to push your limits to win this thing, then again, you're going to have the safety card. That guys are going to pull. What teams are going to pull. I don't think it's drivers making that decision. I think it's owners telling them, "Hey, man, you got tomorrow that we have to make this car through. Don't fuck this up." It's you're telling me there's a driver consciously saying, "Oh, you know, I got to race this car tomorrow," and that decision is made on their own. Fuck no. They got someone in a command center. Yeah, they got Mr. H or Mr. Gibbs saying, "Hey, man, I'm gonna need that $700,000 car to go tomorrow too."
I have a question for you. What position is the threshold for stop trying so hard when it comes down to, like, maybe 50 laps to go, say Michigan's the next one, and then Dover. So Michigan and Dover, whatever. What position at, like, position and down, like, say fifth and back, are going to stop trying at lap 50 to try to win the race?
I'm not saying fifth.
I'm saying at what point do you stop trying to tear up your car and you start saving it for the next day?
I would say once you hit the top 10. I mean, we've seen the past several races, 10th places is way behind. On these, if you're at Michigan, especially, that's not pack racing. I would like it to be. It was the package we saw a few years back, you know, where it was almost like a speedway. Guys are real close together, you know, that it gives it a chance. Now, if you're at Dover, or like New Hampshire, for example, we're going to next, where guys get spaced out, unless you're at a super speedway, it's different because you could be in 20th and be in first within a few laps. I mean, it's. You know, obviously you're always trying, but at these typical tracks that we see in a doubleheader, I would say 10th, 15th for damn sure. Once you hit top 15, what's the point? You know, cool. Hey man, do you want to wreck your car out and push 14th to 13th and press that issue and potentially finish 35th when you wreck out? Or do you want to keep that spot, then push it tomorrow for a win? So it depends. And whether my opinion's nothing, I'm looking at the facts. This is not my opinion. It's the facts. Look at the race. Look at the ratings. We saw it with our own eyes. The first truck race sucked. It was a complete snooze fest. We already talked about it. Second truck race is pretty damn good. It was really good. There was a lot of cautions, not hardly any bullshit cautions. If anything, there was a wreck that should have been a caution and it wasn't thrown. The restarts were fantastic, man. Restarts were awesome from the truck race. Guys were getting aggressive. Oh shit, man! We got to get going, man. It's freaking crunch time. So that was fun to see. But it each track's different. I can't tell you a definitive position. It's I can't do it. That's not my call. You know, if you're Corey LaJoy, you know, top 20 is like, oh, that's a big day. If you're Jimmy Johnson, you're going, fuck, man. We're not gonna make the playoffs doing that. So again, it's a subjective question.
So we got to move on to our next driving topic, but in a weird stat before we move on, Brad Doherty was on his radio show, his Monday radio show you usually have with Brad Gilley on SiriusXM. His opening remarks were talking about how pissed he was because his team, you know, he owns part of JTG Doherty, and they have totally destroyed, he says, 7 race cars in 4 races. That's not a huge team, but they're doing okay. But that's a lot of race cars. But all right, going on to Kyle Busch, we have to talk about Kyle Busch. Watch, it's panic mode now. I understand he got a stage win, But after that stage win, he could not stay off the wall. He hit it twice.
I'll put it this way. Stage wins don't mean a goddamn thing. Stage wins don't get you to Phoenix. Period. They don't.
A flight gets you to Phoenix and a bad decisions.
A flight and a mask will get you to Phoenix. But look, yes, he has got to be in full absolute fucking panic mode. Practice and qualifying has been extremely detrimental to the 18 team, which is fantastic. It is great to see. I want to see. I don't think we've seen his true colors come out yet. You know, he's been, you know, pretty reserved, I would say, for knowing who he is, being the complete fucking child that he is. But we're going to see him fall apart. I think in the next two, possibly three races max, if he keeps doing the dog shit work that he's doing,
you think he's going to fall off?
Yes.
After New Hampshire and at the end of the two Michigan races, going into Dover, you think he's going to be gone?
Yes. I think if he can't produce a win or even string up a couple of top fives, he's in the playoffs. He's going to make the playoffs. I don't have any doubt about that. I feel pretty confident that he'll do that based on points. But as we know, he's going to be damn near the cutoff line. He'll be lucky to make the run of 12.
What if he doesn't make the playoffs? For whatever reason, people from outside of the top 16 start winning. Say Jimmy wins. Outside of that is also
Dylan gets another win.
Eric Jones. Well, Austin Dillon's already up there. That doesn't matter. He wouldn't be kicked out.
Well, he'll be in the round of 16, is what I'm saying. You're seeing guys that burst the bubble for other guys. I got
we
you.
Have seven
you.
Races left. I mean, we still have Daytona Road Course. We have regular Daytona.
Yeah.
And then New Hampshire. So those are going to be the three races that I see someone from outside of winning. So Matt DiBenedetto, he could win. Now he's inside of the playoffs, but that also puts Kyle Busch one spot back from wherever he is now.
Yep.
And say, for example, Jimmy Johnson wins at the road course, or Bubba Wallace wins at the last race of the season. He's 100 points back, but then that puts him automatically into the playoffs. That means if we have three different winners, right now we already have 10 different winners. Season, so that'll put three inside, and Kyle Busch is very, very, very close to that line. So I think that I think the big teams are gonna dominate the bigger tracks. Like I think the biggest track we have going up is Michigan, and I think other than that, we're just going to smaller tracks. But I think Kyle Busch has a lot to panic about, and I think that he is like unraveling. His crew chief, because Kyle Busch keeps on saying, we need practice, we need qualifying, we need practice, we need practice. And Adam Stevens was on SiriusXM, and he goes, those are all just excuses. We just need to be better, which I agree with them. You stop bitching. Everybody is underneath the same guidelines as you. There is no need for you to be like, oh, there's no practice, that's why we suck so bad. Well, Denny is doing fantastic without it. And that's his teammate. You see, and everybody in the Cup Series shares SMT data. They all see what each other are doing. You know what to do. He's just not doing it, not cutting it.
And the whole practice thing, I mean, look, Kyle Busch has been in the series for, 15 years now, going to the same tracks. He knows how to drive the damn tracks. He just needs to get his shit together. And with this system, it's so fantastic for smaller teams. It's been a huge benefit to them. You're seeing guys that normally wouldn't be doing so hot. We've seen Austin Dillon out of nowhere and Tyler Reddick. I mean, these are guys I never thought would finish a 1-2. Now, whether it has to do with practice or qualifying, I couldn't tell you. But again, we're seeing it happen. Cole Custer, again, I can't tell you right now if no practice or qualifying had to do with that. I have no idea. But we're seeing this trend that we did not see last year, where you have these first-time winners and guys who are not doing so well. If Billy Byron gets a win somehow this year, I mean, man, that to me would attest. That's three first-time – or not first-time winners, but three different winners that we wouldn't have seen last year, not even remotely close. If Matty D gets a win, you know, that's a guy who was on a smaller team. And I mean, if he was still with the number 95 team right now, he would benefit hugely from this. having a smaller team and an experienced driver, you know, it'd be a huge benefit for them. But I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining. Logano has fallen off the wagon, and so has Kyle Busch. And teams like LaJoie and Bubba Wallace, they seem to have done quite well. We're seeing a lot more top 20s, a lot of top 15s out of those guys who, with all things considered, they're finishing 25th at best, which is still a good finish for them. But, man, I love seeing those guys up there because it gives me hope that they'll get a big boy ride and we'll get rid of some of these mundane guys that have been in the cup for too long.
So we have something on the rundown that I forgot to put on there, but we got to talk about it.
Sure.
Rumor mill. The rumor is that that Hendrick will be shutting one of its car teams down. Now, everybody says they're shutting the 48 down, all that kind of stuff, shutting the 88 down. It doesn't matter. They're going to pick a number and stick with it, and they're going to move that Ally sponsorship around. But the rumor is that whenever Jimmy retires, instead of looking for more sponsorship for Bowman, they're just going to move that Ally sponsorship over to Bowman because that car is sponsored for the next 3 years after that. 2021, 2022, 2023. Doesn't matter who's in it. Ally obviously will have say in it, but GM owns Ally. That's their insurance and banking arm. So, and Chevy currently sponsors Bowman along with Valvoline and then Luminar. So here's my thought. Here's what I think about it. They're going to shut down the 48 full time. They're going to move the Ally sponsorship over to Bowman. They're going to keep the Valvoline Lumar, and they're going to run the 48 with that, with those colors on it, or they're just going to run the 88 with them on it, but the 48 will do Ally whenever Jimmy comes back for select races in 2021, because Jimmy is not retiring forever. I think he's going to come back for a few, and he's going to come back drive the 48. So the 48 is going to stay open. The 88 is going to be open, but the 48 is going to be a part-time team, and the 88 will have the majority of the races with Ally on it. But whenever Jimmy comes back, he will have Ally, and Bowman will have the Valvoline and Lumar whenever he doesn't have that. That's what I think is going to happen.
I think you're full of shit. I think you're wrong.
What do you think is going to happen then?
I think 48 is going to stick around. They're going to put another driver in there, get some more sponsors in the sport, or carry over whatever sponsors want to be with that driver. I think the 48 is going to be around to stay. Bowman's going to be around to stay. We'll have to see what he does in the playoffs. I don't think it would be in Hendrick Motorsports' best interest to shut down a car when the sport is growing again. We haven't seen, it hasn't been crazy consistent. All things considered, it's hard to kind of judge consistency right now and viewership and stuff, all the shit going on. But NASCAR is back on the rise. And I don't think long term it would be a smart idea to shut down one of their cars and be less competitive when there's going to be more viewership. More viewership meaning more sponsorship money getting pumped into the sport. I think they can find other, maybe Chevy or GM can pump up their sponsorship deals. Nationwide might come back in. Who knows? I doubt it. I wish they would. Or somebody new that we don't know yet. Look, Cash App, no one was mentioning a damn thing about them two and a half, three weeks ago.
I was. I used Cash App. Thanks, Cash App.
But as far as Bubba Wallace sponsorship, that came by storm. No one knew about it. And then it just all of a sudden, here's $several million pumped into it and several races with that scheme on it out of nowhere. So sponsorship can come in really fast and go just as easily. So I don't think that's a big concern right now. Damn, Suarez didn't have a freaking ride secured and Coca-Cola was still sponsoring him. That's insane to me. But if they do shut down the 48 team or the 88, I think it'll be just for a year or so. I don't think it'll be long-term. They'll get sponsorship in. But the one thing to look out for, if Team Hendrick cannot get sponsorship for all four of their guys or cannot maintain enough sponsorship to afford four cars, that brings in a serious question. Who's next? Will NASCAR be able to carry on the way we see it? Is it going to shrink down or is it going to go up? Because if they can't do it, it's like, oh God, who's next? If
somebody they can't, will,
All
right, here's my thing about it. And we got to move on pretty quick here. Yeah. So Jack Roush used to have 5 cars in this sport. Now he's down to 2. Richard Childress Racing used to have 4 cars and 5 cars in Xfinity. But what happens is that whenever one car goes down, another one comes back. So like these little teams, like right now Xfinity is being taken by storm by Our Motorsports 02 with Brett Moffitt. They're running pretty well for a little tiny team who just like had some drama with it. I guess their general manager just quit because he said he didn't believe in the morals of the team, which was off, but whatever. So I think that there's that. I think that we will survive, that there will be more teams showing up and or the little teams or a smaller team will increase whatever they're doing. But going on, we need to have a quick conversation about must-win situations. My must-win situation, we need to go ahead and do real quick. I'm going to do a quick fire off.
Go ahead.
Jimmy and Kyle Busch, that's the must-win right now. Because if Kyle does not win this year for the playoffs, he's done. Like we said earlier, he mentally done.
Yep.
Who's some two people for must-win situations?
Billy Byron. He's locked in right now. But if you give me Kyle Busch, Jimmy Johnson, and Billy Byron, those two guys, Kyle Busch and Jimmy Johnson, they're going to have better finishes. They're going to. So Billy Byron, although he's in right now, as the racing progresses, he's just one crash away and he's done for. And he's back. He's out of the system and he has to race his way back in on points, which you never want to do. I think he's in a must-win situation with all things considered. I agree with Kyle Busch and Jimmy Johnson. Those are obvious must-wins. I'm also going to go ahead and put Clint Bowyer in that boat as well. Bowyer, he is, again, he's locked in points right now. I believe he's 14th in the playoff points as far as those are concerned. Again, that's not good enough. You can even say Kurt Busch to an extent, but I think Kurt Busch is consistent enough where he'll be okay. And he's always a threat to win. He just wins when you don't think he's going to. That's what we saw last year out of him. I don't think anyone had Kurt Busch drawn out of a hat when he went to Kentucky last year and beat his brother Kyle Busch.
That was God giving him good karma because he let Justin Haley win at Daytona the week.
His crew chief let Justin Haley Matt win McCall. On that. God, that was NASCAR's fault. But yeah, those are my hot takes. Those guys, they're in. They're in right now. But don't be fooled.
So, new girlfriends is a big topic this week. Chase Elliott, Ryan Blaney, and their girlfriends went, and I guess a couple other buddies, went out to Colorado on vacation. It started out with Chase posting like a boomerang, like the back and forth little video of him kissing a chick on the lips. I thought he was dating Jeff Green's daughter still, but apparently not. And then we saw Blaney with like some Hooters girl, and I was like, whoa. And every girl on Twitter that likes NASCAR apparently like lost their mind. It was like, I'm unfollowing, I'm done with the sport. And my thoughts on it are, you know, looks can bring you to the sport, but if you're just watching the sport to watch the cute guys, you're in the wrong sport to be watching it, because you can't see them guys until they get out of the car. And a majority of the race is just watching them go around in circles and like ovals, and you're not even seeing their fucking face. So I don't get it. But I think that they might have decreased performance. I mean, you got a where's their head at kind of situation.
Shit, I disagree. They're both
Dale Jr. got a girlfriend.
Dale Jr. was never a championship contender. Let's be honest.
But he finished second.
He finished
2003.
Good for him. I don't think he wasn't. Listen, he wasn't. He was a good race car driver, but he never won a championship.
Yes, he did. He won two back to back
in the Cup Series,
in the Busch Series.
That's the fucking Busch Series. Are you fucking kidding me?
The Busch Series was top tier back then.
Hey, who gives a shit? I'm talking about the Cup Series. I don't think it's gonna affect a goddamn thing. Not a goddamn thing.
I think whatever they got to do, get their nut off. But holy shit, that if he starts losing some Alan Gustafson Smooth Brand Coke 600, I'm blaming it on the new girlfriend. It's like Jessica Simpson and Tony Romo.
Look, Tony Romo fucking sucked all the time. That's not a fair comparison.
No, he did not.
That's not a fair comparison. That's not a fair comparison.
We're not. We gotta get into New Hampshire or review the picks from last week. JP, who did you have last week?
Oh man, I was waiting for this. All right, let's see how much of a jackass Noah Griego here is. Noah's losers, definite losers, I might add, last week for the Kansas race. Noah says Chevy and or Blaney were going to have a very good running. God damn, was he wrong. Blaney finished, I think, a lap down, if I'm not mistaken. He finished way back. Bad day for him. And his losers were definitely JGR. Not a good look. Not a good look. And his wild card pick here was Tyler Reddick, which is another god-awful pick. I couldn't tell you what he finished, but it wasn't in the top five.
He kept on hitting the wall.
That he did. He didn't mean to, as we heard. My winners. Now, not that I did that much better, but my winners here were Chase Elliott. I believe he was in the top 10. Harvick, who was in top five. And Blaney, again, bad day. I think he had a flat tire. Something with his car went down. Wasn't his fault. Tough day for him. It was not the pussy. I'm going to say it again. I'm not done with that topic. It was not the pussy. It was his car. The losers for that race, which I had one that I was wrong about. Almirola, he actually fairly okay. I don't think he had a terrible day. Kyle Busch, he started off strong, but I thought I was going to eat my words there. He fucking sucked towards the end, thank God. Logano, he didn't win the race. None of my losers won the race, so I didn't fuck up that bad. So, but again, he had a top three, if I'm not mistaken. I think he finished third or fourth. Not terrible. So let's go ahead and jump into
Crystal ball headlines. I'll go with my headline.
Go ahead.
My headline is going to be it's going to be something about the playoff picture. It's going to be playoff pictures changed dramatically.
So we're going to have another first time winner this.
I don't know if it's going to be that or someone in the bubble is going to wreck out that bad. And it's going to change, like, or Jimmy's going to pass a whole bunch of people and then get up to 16th again. So I think that New Hampshire is going to change everything very dramatically. And that's what my headline's going to be.
I don't know. I got a feeling that New Hampshire is going to be a snooze fest. Ooh. Make a prediction there. It was a good race last year, but at some of these racetracks, it just seems like we don't have back-to-back crazy races, you know, aside from the super speedways and the road courses. New Hampshire was a good race last year. I mean, I hate New Hampshire. God damn it, I hate the track. I don't know why. It's
your favorite one. It's the Magic Mile. That's why you like it.
God, it's a stupid, stupid fucking track. It's like, hey, let's have Martinsville and ruin it. And it's like, all right, fucking bet. Let's put it in the Northeast. I hate the track. I hate the layout of it. I think it's stupid.
You don't want the lobster?
It's stupid to me. I don't like anything about the track. Again, it's like a Martinsville. It's like, let's make it a little bit faster, but less entertaining.
But man, I love how those things are huge banks on it.
Yeah, God. So I think we're gonna have a bit of a snooze fest, but I think we're gonna see potentially a first time winner with Matt DiBenedetto.
Well, we're not here to the picks yet.
We're mentioning a first-time winner. This is not my pick. This is not my pick.
You just said Matt DiBenedetto.
Well, I'm saying if there's going to be a crystal ball headlines, what do we see? A first-time winner. Who's the best candidate to do that this season? Or that has good at this track, hasn't won a race yet this season, or ever, for that matter. It's possibility. He's the highest candidate. I'm not saying I'm going to pick him for the race. I'm never going to pick Matt DiBenedetto. It's too good to be true.
Garrett Smithley.
Yeah.
Won a race at Hickory. Now who's definitely losing? I went first last time. You go first this time.
All right. Definite losers. The Kyle Busch downward spiral is going to continue. I don't think that's a crazy, crazy pick. But he only did eighth place last year with practicing qualifying. He can only do eighth place last year. Billy Byron, I don't think he's going to have that strong of a showing. And Brad Keselowski. I don't, those three big guys, I don't see them doing much. Those are my three losers. So,
okay. My losers are going to be Denny Hamlin's not going to win this race. Bold. I don't care how close he was. Something's going to happen to him. He's going to be an uncontrolled tire penalty late in the race. Something's going to wreck something.
Okay.
I don't think he's going to win. I don't think Erik Jones is going to win. Not even close. Not even close.
Hot take.
And I don't think.
Sure, write these down. These are scathing.
I don't think that we're going to have a repeat winner from last year. Kevin Harvick will not win this race.
All right. So Noah says, is this a definite not? Or is this a.
These are.
Definite. All right. God damn.
This is Erik Jones, Harvick, and Hamlin are not going to win this race.
Definite not. Jones, that Jones boy. Harvick. So essentially, the top three last year ain't going to do jack shit this year as far as a win is concerned.
Yes.
That's really what he picked. All right. My definite knots are going to be.
You already had your definite knots.
I know. I'm writing them down, you cuck. KB.
And then we're only going to do a main winner and a dark horse for our regular picks.
God, who else I had? Billy and I was on somebody else I had on here.
You had Billy?
Keselowski. I put horse. We'll get a win. All right.
All right. My definite winner is going to be Matt DiBenedetto. And you can now that takes him off the board, so you can't pick him. And I think my dark horse pick is going to be Corey LaJoie because he's from the area.
Get the fuck out. Okay. I love LaJoie, but what a waste of a pick.
I'm also writing in Kanye for president. So
Maddie D Main. And we got our man the Sixer hot LaJoie.
I just bought his diecast, so he's gonna feel my support.
He's gonna have that juju diecast. So as our dark horse there. All right. My definite winner, and I'm going to follow you here on this train, that's not going to be one of the top three guys last year. I'm going to take the guy that refuses to get married, Mr. Martin Truex Jr.
Oh, refuses.
He is my lifetime partner. That's right, with his lifetime girlfriend, piece of shit. She went through cancer, Martin. Put a fucking ring on that.
Yes, he says he keeps on forgetting.
Yeah, I bet he does. I bet he does.
Come on, man.
You know, his boners don't forget. I guarantee you that. So Martin won't marry his girlfriend, Truex Jr. He's going to be the definite winner. My dark horse here. And I was going to have Matty D as dark horse because I do not consider Matty D a top contender yet. He hasn't proved himself to do that. Dark horse here, Erik Jones. Now, again, he finished third, so I'm kind of leaving off the trail. But it's going to be a JGR dominated weekend. Listen, look. Here's the benefit of it, okay? If JGR ends up sucking and my picks go to hell, that's okay. Because JGR sucks. But if I'm right, I'm still going to – it's a bittersweet. It's bittersweet. I'm in a win-win over here. It's like, all right, I'm either going to be correct or I'm going to be wrong and JGR sucks. But give me that Jones boy, man. He is on thin ice and he knows it. And, I mean, he's again, we could have mentioned him. If we had our, you know, talk about four top drivers right now, Jimmy Johnson, Kyle Busch, Erik Jones – Billy Byron, they're in must-win situations, man. They got to win. They got to win. They got to win. They got to win. Especially if Jones wants to keep that 20 car. Otherwise, I'd love to see Daniel Suarez back that direction. He's already with Toyota right now, so he already has his foot in the door. See, his foot never officially left the door. It did. We went to SHR, then his foot's back in the door now. So I think Jones, man, he's got to do something. He's got to do something. He's got to do it now. So he's going to be hungry. So I'm looking out for him, man. Hungry guys need to win.
Well, that's another podcast in the books. I appreciate everybody that has listened so far. I appreciate anybody that actually likes New Hampshire because the Magic Mile does not do it for me. nor does it do it for JP. Mm. So that's another week in the books. We'll see you after the Magic Mile, going to prep for Road America, Michigan, and wherever the hell Xfinity's going. Have a good week.
Who knows?
Let's go, baby.